I was reading this week and saw some letters that kids had written to Santa. And Brian wrote this letter to Santa, and it said, "Dear Santa, I'm looking at your picture, and I'm looking at our chimney, and I think you better use the front door." I'm pretty sure he got put on the naughty list after that letter. Sammy wrote to Santa and said, "Dear Santa, if you bring me toys that need batteries, will you please bring me batteries?" Some of us parents need to take some notes right there and make sure we do that. Laura wrote to Santa and said, "If you have to go to the bathroom while you're at my house, make sure you go upstairs because my dad still isn't fixed the downstairs bathroom." And then Chris said, "Dear Santa, first I want to say thank you for what you brought me last year. Although I don't remember what it was, I'm sure I enjoyed it." How many can relate to that one, right? Well, this week I was talking to someone and they said, we were talking about Christmas and they said, "Well, we all know Christmas is really for the kids." And, you know, I thought about that, and I know what they were trying to say when they said that. You know, when someone says, "Well, Christmas is really for the kids," they're talking about the presents and the gifts and the decorations and the lights. You know, we go out of our way really for the kids, but let's be honest, like, you know, for each other, maybe not as much. Maybe we spend more time and attention towards the kids. I know for my wife and I, she gave me my Christmas present months ago. It was, we sodded our backyard. That was my Christmas present. And I gave hers to her a few weeks ago and replaced our hot water heater. You know, that was her Christmas present, and she loved it. And so when we say that, you know, Christmas is for the kids and the focus is, but I want us to remember that Christmas is for all of us. That Christmas is for me, Christmas is for you, Christmas is for everyone. I think about the angels and the announcement that they made to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. It says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For today in the city of David, a baby has been born. And he is the Savior of the world, Christ Jesus." Christmas is for everyone. Well, tonight I want to look at two people who were waiting with expectancy and excitement. They were waiting for Christmas. And you know, the thing about these two people, they're in Luke chapter 2, which is a popular Christmas passage. We read that. I grew up, that was one of our traditions in our house. We would read that before we could open any presents. We had to read the Christmas story, and it's a great tradition. We've carried it on with our family. But as you read the story, normally we stop before we ever get to these two characters. And I think these characters deserve some attention. It's Simeon and Anna. And you know what I've noticed is that when we read the Christmas story, it seems like we always leave them out. We stop just before we get to them, but they are the ones that are waiting with expectancy and excitement. And so I knew I was going to talk about them tonight, and so I thought it was only fair that we add them to our nativities, right? And so I went ahead and I modified my nativity scene. I think we have a picture of it. I wanted to make sure that we did them justice, that we had them in there. And so I added Simeon and Anna to our nativity scene, at least for a few hours, until my boys discovered that their pirates were missing, and then they reclaimed them. But that's who we're going to look at tonight. Let me pray once more as we prepare to study God's Word. Lord, we do thank you for this time. And Lord, right now, Lord, with all the distractions, the things that we can be thinking of, the things that we're going to do after this service, the kids that are in our lap, anything that could take us away from really focusing on you, Lord, I pray that you help us, Lord, just to take these few minutes as we look at these two characters that we're waiting with expectancy, that we're waiting with an excitement. And Lord, I pray we too will have that same heart towards Christmas, that we would be looking to you for you with an excitement, with an expectancy. And we pray these things, Lord, in your name. Amen. Luke, the author of the Gospel of Luke, as he wrote here the word waiting, he used the word, it's a Greek word, which really means to anticipate. It means to be on the alert. It means to be ready. And as we look at Simeon and we look at Anna, these two characters in this gospel, we're going to see that that's exactly the attitude they had, that they were waiting with an expectancy. They were waiting and ready for, well, they were looking for the Savior, anticipating his birth. And we're going to see they were looking for two different reasons, but reasons that I believe are very relevant to us even today. In verse 25 of Luke chapter 2, we see Simeon, and it says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Basically, that means he was waiting for the Comforter. He was waiting for the Comforter to come to Israel. You know, in this time, things weren't going very well for the nation of Israel. They had been under Roman rule for some time. They had lost their political power. They were now sitting under a wicked King Herod. And so things weren't very good, not to mention the fact that they hadn't even heard from God in over 400 years. They were in a silent period. They were going through that time. We now look at it as the period between the Old Testament and the New Testament, that silent period. And they were in a desperate time, a difficult time in the nation of Israel. They could remember when God walked so closely with their ancestors. They remembered when God's presence led their ancestors out of Egypt and dwelt in camp with them. And they remember the stories of seeing his power move and hearing his prophets share of the goodness of God. But in 400 years, they hadn't heard anything. No signs, no wonders, not even a word from a prophet. And many were probably thinking that God had turned his back on them. Many were probably thinking that God had quit on them. But we're going to see that wasn't the case. And I think that in this time of silence, many of them had probably given up on God. And I wonder if there's someone here tonight that can relate to that. That maybe you feel like you've kind of been going through a silent time. It's been months, maybe years since you've really heard from God or you've really felt God's presence in your life. And you think maybe God's turned his back on you. Maybe God's quit on you. Let me assure you that that's not the case. In Luke chapter 15, and actually we're studying through the Gospel of Luke right now on Sunday mornings, and so if you live in the area or anywhere closer than say, Wisconsin or New York, then we invite you to be here. We would love for you to come and study through this Gospel with us. We've really enjoyed it. And in just a few weeks, we're going to see in Luke chapter 15 the story that we call the prodigal son. And you may be familiar with this story, maybe not. But it's a story where a son decides that he's ready to be on his own and he's ready to live his life to the fullest. And so he asks his dad for his part of the inheritance and he takes his inheritance and he goes out into the world and he just blows it. He lives however he wants to live and he makes terrible decisions and he makes terrible friends. And after just a season of just living for himself and making those terrible decisions, he finds himself hurting. Desperate and broken. And in that brokenness, he wonders, what would happen if I turned back towards home? What would happen if I went home? Would my father be judgmental and condemning? He would be right to do so. I wonder if he would let me even be one of his servants. And so he turns back and he goes home. And as he goes home, he doesn't find a father that's judgmental or a father that's unloving or condemning. He finds a father that runs to him with open arms. And that's what we're going to see here tonight as Israel's possibly turned their back on God as they've been in the silent time and maybe felt like God quit on them or they quit on God. But we're going to see that God hasn't. That in this silence, he sends his son because he loves him. It was the love that drove him to break the silence and send to this earth the Messiah, the Comforter. You know, the need, that word there, the consolation of Israel, the Comforter that Simeon was waiting on. When I think of a Comforter, I think of even last night, my youngest son has got this infection on his shoulder, and every night we have to drain it, and it's not been fun, and it's painful for him and painful for us to watch it. But when it ends, all he wants is mom. You know, even if she did it to him, that's all he wants, is just to be wrapped up, to be comforted. And you know, the truth of it is that's a universal need for all of us, to be comforted. There's times in all of our lives when we go through a difficulty, when we feel lonely, when we feel empty, when we feel broken or alone. Sometimes even maybe feeling depression. And you know that Christmas can bring on a lot of those feelings. For a lot of people, this time of year is one of the most difficult times of year for them, when they need more than anything to be comforted. They need a comforter. And so Jesus came to be that comforter. We see in verses 26 and 27, and it had been revealed to him, speaking of Simeon, by the Holy Spirit, that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary of the law, Simeon took him in his arms and he praised God. We see that Simeon was waiting with a promise and a prompting. He was waiting with a promise from the Holy Spirit, and he was waiting for a prompting from the Holy Spirit. And when it came, here we see him sing a song. He's holding this child. You can picture this elderly man take this child into his arms, and he's singing, and he's probably dancing, and he sings this song. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people of Israel. Simon is singing. He's acknowledging that God has fulfilled that promise to him, and he's fulfilled his promise to Israel and to the world, in that he sent his Messiah. He sent his Messiah to be that comforter for him, that comforter for the Jews, and that comforter for the Gentiles, that comforter for us all. There's a second person that we see in this story waiting as well, waiting with expectancy, waiting with excitement, and that's Anna. And we see in verse 36 through 38, there was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Paphnuel of the tribe of Asher. And she was very old, and she had lived with her husband for 70 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. And she never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. And coming up to them at the very moment, now this is when Simeon is dancing and singing, she comes on the scene, and she gave thanks to God, and she spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. And so now we see Anna, and she's waiting with an expectancy and excitement, but not for comforter like Simeon was, but she's waiting for a forgiveness. She says, for the redemption of Israel. She's looking for forgiveness. She realizes that through this child, that salvation would come, that he was the Messiah. The Messiah means anticipated one, or the anticipated Savior, our deliverer. And that's exactly what Jesus is. And she knew that. She knew right away that he was the one that would bring forgiveness to all of mankind. And so she's celebrating it. You know, one of the most popular verses in the Bible, you can go to a football game and see this verse on a sign in the background, you know, as they're kicking field goals and all that, or to a wrestling match, if you dare go to a wrestling match, and you'll see someone hold up a sign that says John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever believes in him believes what? Romans 5:8 tells us, but God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What is it that we have to believe in? What is it that we have to put our faith in? That he died for us. In Colossians 2, verse 14, it says, and by concealing the record of debt that stands against us with its legal demands, this he set aside by nailing it to the cross. See, Anna didn't know. When she looked at the son, she didn't know how. But she knew there was forgiveness in this child. That through this child, she could be forgiven. She was looking forward in faith, knowing that. Now we look back in faith, knowing the whole story, knowing that he came, that he lived his life, that he died on a cross to be the sacrifice for you and to me, to pay the price of our sin. When Jesus came, he brought the very thing that Simeon and Anna were looking for. They were looking for comfort. They were looking for forgiveness. So my question to you this Christmas Eve is, what are you looking for? You know, I know there's a lot of people that you can relate to Simeon when you say that you're looking for comfort. Maybe you're hurting, you're depressed, you feel alone or afraid. I want you to know you don't have to wait any longer. That there is comfort through Jesus Christ. Or maybe you can identify more with Anna and you've been plagued with guilt, maybe because of the way you've lived your life or the way that you're living your life now or decisions that you've made. And I want you to know that you don't have to wait any longer for forgiveness, that he came to bring forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a beautiful verse. If we confess it, he's already paid the price for it. All we have to do is confess it and believe that he has forgiven us. You know, I know that many of you here have done that, that you've received Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. And so I want to challenge you tonight to be renewed in that. You know, I think some of the ways that we can be renewed, I want to give you three here tonight as we enter this Christmas time and look forward to Christmas tomorrow. The first one we see Mary and Joseph in verse 33 doing. In verse 33 it says, and the child's father and the mother marveled at what was said about them. As they looked at Simeon dancing with his child, as they thought about Anna and what she had to say, they marveled at what was being said. And I think that's the first thing for us as believers to be renewed is to marvel, to be marveled. To be filled with wonder, to be filled with astonishment and surprise. You know, for many, and I can even put myself in there at times, for many of us, Christmas just seems like just another day, and sometimes we're even more thankful when it's past, you know, when the busyness and the rush and just the hectic schedule is done and it's behind us and we can move forward. But this Christmas, I want you to marvel. To think about what this day means, that God Almighty sent his son to this earth. What a marvelous thing. What an incredible thing. You know, did anybody get the flu shot this year? Anybody get the flu shot? We don't worry about that a whole lot down here, but some of you guys maybe got a flu shot. And it's really interesting. The whole flu shot thing is they give you the flu. I mean, that's what they do. They inject you with part of the virus. And in doing that, it allows your body to build an immunity to it, and then you don't have to worry as much about getting it. And I think that happens to us sometimes is we get ready to enter the Christmas season and we get injected with just a little bit of Christmas. Maybe we put our nativity scene up. We add Simeon and Anna to it and it's complete. And that's just enough, and it keeps us from really getting the full-blown Christmas fever. I want to challenge you to be a marveler, to be one that looks at Christmas and is amazed at what God has done for us. The second thing We see Simeon and Anna both do. In verse 27, we see Simeon, it says, he was moved by the Spirit and he went into the temple. In verse 38, we see Anna, it says, and coming up at that very moment, both of them were moved. I don't want you to just be a marveler, but I want you to be moved this Christmas. They were moved by the Holy Spirit. They were prompted by the Holy Spirit. And when they were prompted, they acted on it and they moved. This Christmas, when the Holy Spirit prompts you, or in your life, when the Holy Spirit prompts you, will you be moved? When I look at the other characters in the Christmas story, when I think about Mary, and man, that was a woman who was moved. When she had the angel appear before her, and what was her response? It says, May it be to me as you have said. May it be to me as you have said. May I be obedient to all that you say to me. May we be moved. And Joseph, after he had the dream and the explanation of what was taking place, and he was moved to take Mary as his wife, to act in obedience to that. I think of the shepherds who heard the announcement from the angels and they moved. The passage tells us, they said, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. And then the wise men, I mean, they were probably moved the most in that they left from their land, their comfort zone, their place that they were familiar with, and traveled who knows how far and how long. Prompted by a Holy Spirit. Moved. Let us be people who are moved. And when we're prompted by the Holy Spirit, to act on it. Maybe tonight the Holy Spirit would prompt you to give your life to Him if you've never done that before. I pray that you will move and do that. Maybe the Holy Spirit will prompt you to a deeper surrender. Maybe the Holy Spirit will prompt you to begin to serve in some way, to serve somebody, to serve to some cause. Maybe the Holy Spirit would prompt you to reconcile a relationship that's been broken. When He prompts us, let's be people who move. Let's be people who, when we think about all that we've been waiting for, that we would finally say, hey, the waiting is over. The time has come. No more procrastinating, no more waiting. It's time to move. And then the last thing we see in verse 38, we see Anna. And it says, and coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God, and she spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. This Christmas season must not just be a marveler and be a mover, but let's be a messenger. When I look at Anna here, she was a messenger. And you want to know something? If you are a marveler, it's going to move you to be, or it's going to move you to a place where you're moved, right? When we begin to marvel, we're going to be moved. And when we're moved, we're going to begin to be a messenger. We see Anna here telling everyone who was looking, speaking about the child to all who were looking, it says. And you know, I've seen women talking about babies, and they will talk to anyone who will listen, right? And that's what Anna's doing. She's become a messenger of the good news. She's become a messenger that this child has brought forgiveness, that through this child, we can be saved. You know, that's our message as well. We're called to be messengers, and that's our message. It's a message of forgiveness. It's a message of God's grace. In 2012, Fox News did a report on the top three news stories that they ran, or the top three news stations. And of these three news stations, they ran 530 stories about Christmas. I don't know what that span was, but probably from like Thanksgiving to Christmas. These top three news channels ran 530 stories about Christmas. 524 of those stories were about the weather, shopping. They were about decorations and food and gift ideas and travel. And only six of them referenced Jesus or referenced God. When I think about that, that's less than 2% Less than 2% of the stories. And when I thought about that, I thought, you know, that probably represents a lot of our conversation. We're called to be messengers, but we find ourselves talking to people about anything and everything about except for the one thing that we're really called to be messengers of. And I know I'm guilty of it. I can talk about sports, and I can talk about weather and politics and this and that. But for some reason, it can be hard to steer the conversation towards the Lord. That's the very thing that he's calling us to be messengers. And you know, that can be a little bit scary. It can be a little bit intimidating sometimes to think about evangelizing or being a messenger for God. But when I think about what it really is, it becomes easier. Because what it is it's sharing good news. And who doesn't like to share good news? We all like to share good news, don't we? To tell people good news. I remember the day I got engaged, what an exciting phone call that was to my parents, and I was surprised how excited they were, actually. You know, finally. And when we got pregnant with Thomas, our first son, and how exciting that was, man, I was trying to tell everybody. And then the news just began to spread. We love to share good news. And I'm telling you, there is no better news than what we're called to be messengers of, that there's forgiveness of our sin. And so my hope and my prayer this Christmas is that you'll let the wait be over. That if you've been waiting for comfort, that you will find your comfort. If you've been waiting for forgiveness, that you will find your forgiveness. My prayer is that you'll be a mover, that you'll be a marveler, that you'll be a mover, that you'll be a messenger of God this Christmas. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for this night. When I think back of thousands of years ago to your coming and just how incredibly hectic that must have been for Joseph and Mary and on that night, Lord, and the rush and the traffic of all the people in Jerusalem for Passover and to not be able to find a room and to be stuck into a small stable. But Lord, we know that was your perfect plan. That you entered this world in a humble way and you lived your life in a humble way. The Bible tells us that you came to serve. Not to be served, but to serve and to give your life a ransom for many. Lord, I pray that we would have that same heart of humility. That we'd be servants of yours, Lord. I pray that this Christmas, that it wouldn't just be another Christmas that we get caught up in the decorations and the gifts and the parties and the celebration, Lord, but we will truly take a step back. That we will marvel. What an amazing thing you've done for us. And by marveling that we will be moved, Lord, to action. And that we will be your messengers, Lord, of the forgiveness that you bring. Lord, I pray if there's someone here tonight who's never received your grace, never received your forgiveness, that they would do that here tonight. I want us just to continue in a time of prayer. I want to invite the worship team to come up. And we close every service here with every head bowed and every eye closed. We do this every Sunday morning. But we want to just give people an opportunity to reflect and to respond. And if the Holy Spirit's moving in your heart tonight, I pray that you would come to this altar, or you can make the chair that you're sitting in an altar. And allow the Holy Spirit to move in you. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in your heart. If he's speaking something to you, then don't be afraid to move in that. If you've never received his comfort, I pray you would do that tonight. And Lord, I know that there's brokenness here. I know that there's people that are hurting. I know that there's relationships that need to be reconciled. Lord, we pray that you come and be a comforter to them. God, to the person who's never received your forgiveness of their sin, who's never put their faith in you, have never received that free gift of grace that you offer so freely. God, I pray tonight would be the night that they do.